It's time now for the broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise in Greensboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Ray Whittington. Find out more about the Cathedral of Praise and Pastor Ray on Facebook. Just search Cathedral-of-Praise. And you can address correspondence to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Now with today's broadcast, here's Pastor Ray.
There's a song that's been ringing in my spirit for the last couple of days. Jesus changed everything. Wow. What a song. What a song. What a song. What a word. Jesus changed everything. When he came into my life, he changed me. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things become new. I say a lot of the times the reason I know that Jesus can save and deliver and set you free is I know what he did for me. I know what he did in my life. I've seen other lives changed, and I thank God for it. But I tell you the truth this morning. When I met Jesus, I became that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, and all things became new. And it changed my life. He changed everything. Well, I drove over 500 miles from Friday at about 3 o'clock till Saturday about 4 o'clock. Friday night we went to Gastonia to our grandson plays the music for Ernie House, Signature Sound, and some of you have heard me share his story of how that he wasn't supposed to be born, but God moved in a miraculous way. When the doctors had said, it looks like you're going to lose this child, and this was on a Friday, and said on Monday, if things haven't changed, we're going to have to do a DNC and start over maybe. And she and our daughter-in-law had a miscarriage between their first child and now she was carrying another one. But we prayed, and Jesus changed everything. Because from Friday to Monday, the count, and you women, I know what I'm talking about, went from 100 to 40,000, and he's so gifted. He played a piano solo, and it just amazes me. And I think so many times it's almost like we've lost a generation. It's born with gifts and talents, but lives are thrown away, and the things of this world that dim and lose their value if you find God, they just pull, and it seems like that we lose so many, and they don't live up to their potential because of making wrong choices and are going the wrong way. But I sat there and just thanked the Lord for his grace and his mercy and for the gifts. He's the one who I told you called me one Sunday afternoon and told Glenda, said, I need to speak to Granddaddy. And you've heard me say, and I said, what does a 4 or 5 year old want to talk to a 60 something year old man? And he said, at that age, it had already got in his heart so much. See, if we train up our children in the way they should go when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Our problem today is not just young people, but it's the parents and grandparents that have to okay things and let their children participate in everything. And in this politically so-called correct world, we've walked away from God and from the Bible. And we're the generations that's going to be held responsible. But Tyler said, Granddaddy, I just wanted to tell you I'm still a man of God. I'm still a man of God. And we had a wonderful time. And then yesterday morning, we jumped up and drove to Charlotte to attend a meeting of Partners of Love a Child Ministry in Haiti. Bobby and Sherry Burnett, who do a great work for God. I've been there a number of times, and Bobby yesterday just kept saying to me, you need to come back to Jamaica. You need to come back, Haiti. You need to come back to Haiti. You need to come back to Haiti. Well, it costs finances and time to go back to Haiti. But I've traveled to the uttermost parts of that country to where people are just live in huts, and children live a whole life and never know what it is to have a full stomach. My heart's, and I told him yesterday, I'm thankful that God has left me here, and he's the one that's called there. But when you go places like that, you leave your heart. Sometimes people go and they see some of these nations, but they don't see the heart of them. They don't see the total situations of how life can really be. Haiti used to be the peril of the Caribbean, but when it turned from God, and they fished their waters, and the land has just been so devastated. The forest, until when it rains, there's nothing to hold the soil from just washing down. By the way, pray for Haiti, and pray for Jamaica. I've been to Jamaica numbers of times. My brother, there's a lot of ministry there. And years ago, when a hurricane, well, this one is named Matthew. We got a grandson named Matthew. But years ago, when a hurricane hit Jamaica, our church, we're not a large church, but we felt led of God to purchase a generator, and I put it on an airplane and flew it down there because of the devastation. And they say this hurricane is one of the most dangerous ones of a number of years, and it's supposed to hit tomorrow. So pray, and it's supposed to touch part of Haiti. So pray for these islands of the sea. Some places may get 10, 15 inches of rain. So pray for these nations. Pray for mercy. But I just was touched as I watched videos and saw children that was taken in when they were just a baby, and now they're grown and are making something out of their life. My life was so touched by that. I'm just so thankful for what God can do and how He can help. Never forget, I used to go down to Mexico to an orphanage down there, and a friend of mine who passed on, Dr. John Cook. Dr. Cook, he took in children, and he got four from one family where they had been burned with cigarettes, and so he let them sleep on the floor in his bedroom for several nights till they could come acclimated to where, you know, the new place they were. And in the middle of the night, he would feel little hands reach up and just touch his feet just to make sure he was still there. Oh, isn't it wonderful that when the clouds hang low and when we don't know what to do, we can reach out and just touch him and know that in the midnight hour that he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. I don't know about you, but there's a man at church who likes his saying, people say, well, I'll love you. I'll love you all the way. Sometimes people say, well, I'll be with you till the cows come home. Well, sometimes they come home a lot, because if you're like me, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of situations, there's a lot of circumstances where that you felt like you could count on people, and when you needed them, they were not there. But Jesus changes everything, and he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not, and he promised us he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but go with us all the way. Praise the Lord. Can I have somebody say praise the Lord, even to the end of the world? So thank you, Jesus. And so then we came back to Greensboro yesterday afternoon, because I conducted a funeral of a 28-year-old woman who's been in and out of our church for some time, and just the other day just fell over and left this world. And the church, we couldn't. Our church is not large, but we couldn't even hold the people. Just all kind of people just kept coming in to And I saw probably 20 young people that used to come to church, and some of them have hit the bottom, and some of them are in church, and I thought here we are. Our church could be growing, but some of them said that they didn't even have gas money to drive from where they live. But I just stood there and looked at their lives, and a young lady walked up to me, and I give God the glory for this. But her mother died when she was young, and she looked at me and said, I was ready to give up. I had lost hope in life. I just felt like that Lockwood wasn't living, and I was afraid that I was going to do something to myself. But said, years ago, I walked into this church. I walked in and heard you preach, and said, when I left that day, I was changed. I was a changed person. I was different because you, through Jesus, gave me a reason to live, And I used to send out some letters to people who, you know, supported the ministry or wanted to be a part of the ministry, and still do that sometime. But she said, I keep the letters that you write. Said, you sometimes you send them in a blue envelope, and said, I read them, and said, I want you to know that even though I haven't been here lately, you have changed my life. And that's what I ask God to do. Just provide enough to keep me going and give me the strength from day to day. You know, because so many people, if it doesn't just benefit them. I mean, I've got through all the years of ministry, not only here in Greensboro, but other places, hundreds of lives that God has helped me minister to. But I don't care. I don't care who you are. Once in a while, when life gives you some heartaches and headaches, you need to God will send somebody along to say, well, you thank you for giving to the Lord, because I'm the life that was changed. And that's why I'm on this program. That's the reason I'm here today. That's the reason I get up and minister to you, because I want to be a blessing to you. I want a personal relationship, even though we may never meet this side of heaven. I'm here to just, if I can just help somebody as I pass this way, then my living will not be in vain. I tell you over and over, the church world has just got caught up in the multitudes. How many you have? In fact, one man said if you had less than about 50, you ought to close the door. But Jesus saw one person. He could be in a multitude of thousands and see one person. And I believe that. I believe that God sometimes has me to share something that can minister to a lot of lives. But I believe sometimes there's one person that needs to hear something. I'm telling you, if you're drowning, you'll be thankful for one person that can throw out a lifeline. You heard the old story of the man who was walking down the beach throwing crustacean in back into the water, and somebody said, you know, there's too many starfish that you can't get them all. It doesn't matter. He said, it matters to the one I get to, and that's the way I feel. That's the way I feel. You know, you can only do what you have to do with. That's the reason I thank those that keeps me able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we are responsible for what God puts in our hands, and we are responsible for reaching out and helping people. I just pray for all those. Some of them got families now. Some of them, like I said, they're in church. Some of them not in church. Some of them still needs to have a change of direction in their life. Pray for them. Pray for them, and pray that God will touch them. I know all of them won't be back today. I don't expect that. But God gave me an opportunity last night to minister to people that some of them I haven't seen in years. Pray for this generation. That's the reason the scripture I have today is so fitting. And it's taken from Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day, He doesn't give the day, but see, days are important. I may be speaking to somebody this morning that feels like that there's no hope, but on this day, you may have, by the means of the internet, or you may have turned on the radio and hear a voice saying, Jesus loves you and Jesus can change everything. Jesus can change everything. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. Do you notice that the disciples are the ones that got to get into the ship? You know, so many people serve Jesus from afar off. You know, the multitudes came, but when, see, Jesus wants you to become a disciple. He wants you to become a true follower. He wants you to be like him. Sometimes we want to look at people and be like them, but what Jesus would tell people, he said, you can be like me. Now I know in the, you know, I know who he was. He was and is and always shall be the only begotten Son of God. But he walked on this earth to tell us that we could walk in victory and power, that we could walk in favor with God and even favor with man sometime. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. His disciples was the ones that got it. I one time asked the Lord, I said, how did you know the hungry hearts? How did you know the hungry hearts? And Jesus spoke in my heart, and he said the one who stayed after the fish and loaves was gone, and even the ones who hang around after the miracles was over, and said, what did you really mean when you said, if you want to be part of me, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh? And that's just an illustration that we've got to just take him all in. And the Bible said when he said that, many, not just a few, but many turned their backs on him and walked with him no more. And he looked at the disciples, and said to them, will you also go away? And the Apostle Peter said, Lord, to whom shall I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And when we realize that, when we realize that the only answer is Jesus, when we realize if we have everything and we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything. And when we realize if we've got Jesus, if we don't even know where our next meal is coming from. There's a lot of Christians that died of starvation. That may not fit your theology, but that's the way it is sometimes. There's a lot of believers, they're sold out to Jesus. It's being slaughtered around this world today. You know, that may not fit some people's theology, but that's what's happening. We want to talk about the Apostle Paul and all the disciples, but all of them except the Apostle John gave their life for the gospel because they knew that if you got Jesus, you got everything, and if you don't have him, you don't have anything. So he said, and I don't have anywhere to go. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford, striving along to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, neighbors are kind. We love them, every one. We get along in one accord. But when my soul needs manna from on high, where could I go but to the life here is grand with friends I love so dear. It's comfort I get from God's own word. But when I face the chilly hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to go with me to the end? That's the reason sometimes I'm glad I do this live, because I can go and learn the rudiments of putting in. I did tapes for years and years and years. But sometimes I just like to come to you fresh. Just pour out my heart to you and tell you that Jesus can change everything. And he said to them, I one time asked Jesus, I said, you know, how did you know who the hungry hearts were? How did you know who the hungry hearts? And he said, I dealt with people on the level that they dealt with me. And I said, well, explain that to me. And in my inward man, he said, well, I had the multitudes. I had the 70. I had the 12, and I had the 3 inner circle. And see, we choose the relationship we have with Him by how we walk with Him and how dedicated we are to serving Him and how we're willing to take up the cross daily and follow Him. Well, where has my time gone? I won't get to all of it, so I'm just going to paraphrase it for a moment, but they get out there and they get the storm. Just because you're serving God don't mean that you're not going to have storms. Storms come to us all. And Jesus was asleep. But when they woke Him, somebody say, when they woke Him up, He said, "Where's your faith?" And I'm like the man that Jesus healed his son one time when he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," because I'm going to tell you, the just live by faith, but sometimes faith is hard to live by. When you look around and you see all that you see, and sometimes it's hard to have faith for this nation, this country, and the shape it's in. Sometimes I have to kick myself to charge my faith, to press on a little longer. But He said, but the Bible said that he arose, rebuked the wind, the raging of his water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. See, I've been preaching. God woke me up at 3 o'clock the other Sunday morning to tell people that a breakthrough was coming, that a breakthrough was on the way. And see, I feel like I'm speaking to somebody this morning that you're in a storm. Sometimes when you're in a storm, it's hard to make good decisions. It's hard to make right decisions. Your life just gets turned over, and you started out sailing on a journey, and everything was smooth, and everything looked so wonderful, and all of a sudden you hit a storm. I've done that so many times in my life. But I believe that Jesus is fixing to calm some storms this morning. I believe that. All Jesus got to do is say, "Peace, be still." The winds and the waves, the songwriter said, "Obey your will." All you got to do is say, "Peace, be still." I've had days of, some days are diamonds, some days are stone, but I've had God show up enough time when I was in a storm and it looked like that there was no answer, and Jesus just spoke a word and everything. He doesn't do that every day, but I'm speaking to somebody today that God is going to change some things for you. Here they were. They started out. Everything was good. Going over to the other side. He was going to get kicked out of the country he went to. But he still was fulfilling the work of the Father. And they get out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible said a storm came up. A storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. And at least they knew what to do. Even though their faith level was not where it ought to be, they cried, "Have mercy on us." You know, sometimes we don't have to have a lot of theology when we need something. There's not a one of us that are good parents that if we heard our child calling our name, we would stop everything. All sometimes we got to do is just say, "Help." See, God understands help. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth." Well, I sure would love to hear from you. I haven't heard from near as many as I'd love to hear from in almost 2 years of being on this station with this program. It would encourage me. You could help us. You could support. You can email me at raymwhittington@gmail.com, or you can write me. You know, our church is not large enough to have all of these modern conveniences as a way to give, but they're still the old-fashioned ways. But I love you. Thank God for you. The announcer gave the address, P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. And, of course, Cathedral of Praise will be there in a little while at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road in Greensboro, sharing the gospel again at 10:30 this morning. I'm stirred. The young lady looked me in the face and said, you've made a difference in my life, and thank God for the difference. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you. And may the God of that world know that you live in this world and give you a peace that passes all understanding. This is Pastor Ray Whittington. Say, go with God. He certainly will never leave you. Love you. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise with Pastor Ray M. Whittington. Cathedral of Praise is located at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Your support is needed and appreciated for this broadcast. You may address your cards and letters to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. And on behalf of Pastor Ray and all the congregation of Cathedral of Praise, we're praying for you. And we hope to see you again right here next week.